I like how you guys did that. Wherever I go. And then you all did the same thing, which was, yeah, hee-haw, get the spoons out. So were you all consumed with the Lord this week? Oh, okay. Well, some of you guys were. That's awesome. At least one person. Well, if you missed last week's message, you're kind of missing the point. So I'd go back, listen to it. There's some good things that came out of that. I thank those who got a hold of me this week and let me know that you saw God do some things in your life kind of off of that whole message. And again, not that it was me. It's what God's doing. And I always like to hear that too. And so it's neat. You preach on something, somebody's impacted by that, and then they do what it is that God says to do, and then they start seeing things happening in their lives. And so we've got a great God, and we just need to keep on trusting Him. We got to make sure we don't get ahead of Him. Just live out the next right thing to do. I was talking to somebody this week about that, the next right thing. Some of you guys won't find this be too impressive, but I like to watch golf. I don't know, puts me to sleep. And so yesterday I was flipping between that and a football game, and Zach Johnson, who's a golfer that I've kind of watched over the years, they were interviewing him and saying, hey, what's your plan for the day? And he says, well, my plan is just to make sure I stay over my feet. And I thought that was kind of an interesting thing to say, because what he meant by that is I'm going to stay in the moment. I'm gonna just shoot, you know, hit the next shot. I'm not gonna look ahead. I'm not gonna wonder. I'm just gonna let the game unfold as I do the next right thing. And so, for each of us, that's what we need to be doing—the next right thing, not the next thing that we think is right, but what God says to do. And so, we all have things coming up this week, right? We've got schedules. Some are already planned, and we're expecting those things to happen. Some are gonna be filled in as we go. But that's got to be something that the Lord's going to work on. We just need to stay over our feet. And so today, what's the next right thing for me? To preach this message. And the next right thing for you to do is sit there and try to stay awake as best you can. And if you don't, that's fine. Just don't snore too loudly. And then after that, Lord willing, if He doesn't return or something drastic doesn't happen and we're all able to leave, the next right thing is to drive the speed limit home. We're close to it. I'm just, you know, the cops give you a very, and we won't get into it. And then when we get home, I think all of us will have lunch either home at a restaurant. That's the next right thing, and tip well. I always tip Kim well, too. I said, don't drink and drive. You might hit a bump and spill your drink. So I always make sure that I'm tipping her well. So it's just the next right thing. Some of it's just mundane, and some of it is, you know, serious stuff that we need to make sure we get right. We'll go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. It's page 642 if you're using the Bible there in the seats. And we're going to look at another verse or two that we think is to our advantage to have these things memorized, have them at our disposal 24/7, 365, whenever we come up against something. These verses this week, for me, it's interesting how when you preach on something, the Lord allows things into your life where, oh, I have to actually put this into practice. And so I've spent a lot of time with these verses in the nighttime, early morning, with the Lord working through stuff, and so these are important things. Last week we looked at Psalm 37. If you remember that, the one verse we actually looked at six verses, but this is the one verse that we memorized. Delight yourself in, or desire, or consume yourself. Where's that whole point of consuming yourself? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And we understood that that means that if we delight in Him, we desire Him. It's another way of saying desire Him. If we're consumed with Him, then our desires will be aligned with His, and He'll give those desires to us. It's all about us adjusting. If we place our faith in Christ, if we're following Christ, it's all about us adjusting our thinking, adjusting our habits and our actions to align with Him, and then those things are taken care of because He wants us to follow Him. Who memorized it? Who wants to come up here? We'll turn the monitors off and say it. Chickens. Anyways, we'll move on. So King David wrote Psalm 37. I'm telling you, I'm going to give somebody a gift that they can do all four of these verses or five, however many we're going to be doing. I'll give you a gift. And it won't be just a gold star. It will be a gold star. Anyways, King David wrote Psalm 37. His son Solomon, when he became king, he wrote Proverbs 3. And you'll see the similarities if you were here last week to this week. There's some similarities there. So people who are familiar with Proverbs 3 usually think of verses 5 and 6, right? And so it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So a lot of people who are familiar with Proverbs, we know that already. We kind of have this idea about it. So I'm going to challenge you to memorize 7 and 8, which is, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. For it will be healing to your body. I just love this part. Healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And God's word will actually impact us physically. And we'll talk about what that means. It doesn't mean that if you have a cut on your hand and you do that, all of a sudden your cut's going to heal up right away. We're not talking about that. It's a little deeper than that. But we're going to be talking about human wisdom or our wisdom contrasted against God's wisdom, what he thinks. And so before I do that, I just want to throw out some common human wisdom and then what God says or Jesus says about it. Jesus is God, so in a sense, same difference. Be true to yourself. You've heard people say that. People give other people some counsel and say, hey, be true to yourself. In other words, live out what you think. It doesn't matter what other people think. You do you, boo, right? It's that type of thing. I do that for Bill Cannon. Loves it when I call him boo. Just kidding. It didn't sound good at all. Like, it was in my head thinking, this is funny. And then I said it. And it's like, oh, my word, that's awkward. But so be true to yourself. But Jesus, he says, deny yourself. Again, this is for those of us who have placed our faith in Christ and we're following Christ. We have a relationship with God through faith in Christ. He's saying, no, 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 no. Deny yourself. Don't do what you think you should do. Another one is follow your heart. Some of these are fairly similar, but follow your heart. This is more of a do what brings you purpose. Do what brings you satisfaction. Focus in on yourself. And Jesus said, follow me. He said it actually in Matthew, he said it 5 times, and each time there was a different desire, human desire that he attached it to, and said, no, 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 don't follow your heart, follow my heart, follow me. Another one is believe or have faith in yourself. I'm watching football, so a lot of times there'll be some sort of interview with one of the players, and a lot of times what I'll hear is, yeah, I mean, you just got to have faith in yourself. You just need to believe in yourself and then go out and do it. But Jesus, he says, John 14:11, that you need to believe in him. Believe in God, believe also in me. And again, biblical belief is not just going, oh, I believe he existed. No, belief is you're putting your full weight of trust on him, saying, no, his way of doing life is what I want to do, not what I think I should be doing. Another one is speak your truth. In other words, what you think is true, that's what's ultimately true. We see this all the time in our cultural wars that we have going on. People think one thing that's obviously not true, but it's true to them because they think it is, and so therefore it is. The problem is Jesus says, I am the truth. And when he says that, he's not just saying, I speak my truth. No, he's saying, I am the truth. Everything passes through Christ. What Jesus says about life that we have in the Bible, because again, he's God, what Jesus says about who you and I are, how he's created us, what our purpose is, what the future of the world is, what eternity is, that's all truth. That is the truth. Everything else is just our opinions on things. Another one, and I hear this from Christians a lot, is that God wants you to be happy. He just wants me to be happy. Hey, this can't happen because I'm not happy. And then God wants me to be happy. I just want to kind of, this is a little bit longer one. Jesus tells us the road to happiness in Matthew 5. It's called the Beatitudes. And so I had to put it on 2 different slides. So Jesus said the road to happiness because he says the blessed are those who, and blessed has this idea of happiness. It's a little deeper than that. It's a sense of purpose, it's a sense of satisfaction, in the sense, okay, I'm doing what it is that God wants me to do. It's that kind of thing, but happiness is implied. I think happiness is kind of weak and shallow, and it all deals with circumstances. But So he says, if you want to have the road to happiness, it's found in first being poor in spirit. In other words, realize that you're spiritually needy, that you need him. We're going to read some verses where he's the self-existing one. We are not self-existent. We need him. Even if you're not a follower of Christ, you don't believe, even you're an atheist even, I mean, I don't know. The truth is, God's allowing you to live. He's a self-existing one. We're not. And so we need to know that we are in need spiritually. We're supposed to mourn over our sin. We're supposed to recognize and confess that we've sinned against God, that we've disobeyed him. When we've sinned against somebody else, it means we've sinned against God, because God says don't do that to other people. Be gentle in your response to others. That you're going to find happiness in being gentle to people. Not trashing them when they trash you. Not cussing them out when they cuss you out. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's that be consumed. Your hunger and thirst. I carry around the water all the time. I'm always thirsty. I don't... My L1C or I1C, whatever that diabetes thing is. I got it. I'm good. I just like water. Plus, I do a lot of talking. So, but be consumed with God's way. You're going to find happiness that way. Be merciful. Some of you are thinking, this is not the way to happiness. Be merciful. Give to somebody else what they need, not what you think they deserve. By that, I mean, when somebody trashes you, somebody gives you a hard time, somebody disrespects you, our tendency is to disrespect back. It's to slap them down a little bit. They slapped us down, now we're going to slap them down. But those who are following Christ, he says, no, be merciful. Give them what they need. Again, when we do that, it's a sacrifice for us, because Christ-like love is sacrificial. It's painful. Be pure and godly in your desires. Be peacemakers. Look to make peace as best as you can with other people. It may not happen because there's another person involved, but as far as it is, depending upon you, be peace with all men, Paul says in Romans. These last two ones kind of go together, but he separated them out. Be okay with being persecuted for doing life God's way. It's actually a badge of honor. If you're truly doing it God's way, you're not just being a jerk, but you're doing it God's way, people are going to persecute you. And then he goes on to say, well, take people's insults, their harassments, and their lies about you. You're going to find in that happiness. And again, happiness is more of a sense of purpose and satisfaction. And then the last one is, I don't deserve, and then put in whatever your frustrating, irritating thing or person is. We talked about last week, what's the one desire you have that in 2025, if that gets fixed, you'd be so appreciative. Maybe it's your marriage. You want your spouse to be fixed. You know, you want your kids to be fixed. You want your parents to be fixed. You want your job situation to be fixed. Whatever it is. So I don't deserve it. I don't deserve a spouse like this. After all, I deserve to be happy. And I'm not. Right? Combining them. I didn't deserve to have kids like this. I didn't deserve parents like this. I didn't deserve a job like this. I didn't deserve the finances that I have. I didn't deserve the health that I have. I don't deserve. And I've been there, and sometimes I get back to there. And then this thought always comes to me, Romans 6:23, but the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's he saying there? There's one thing that everybody who's ever born deserves. Only one thing we all deserve. And that is eternal judgment for our sin. And if that's the case, which it is, everything else is a gift. Even the bad situations in our life is a gift, because it's better than hell, no matter how bad the situation is. And so we get to live this life as a gift from God. Even, again, unbelievers who haven't placed their faith in Christ, it's still a gift from God. Why? Because they have the opportunity to know who he is, to have their sins forgiven, to be right with the one who created them. And then for us who are followers, we understand and we keep on having to remind ourselves that the difficult stuff that we go through is so that we can know God better, so we can trust him more, so we can grow spiritually. And so everything else in our life is a gift. Forgiveness from God is a gift. The relationship with him is a gift, and everything else is a gift from him. So we got to be very careful. We got to constantly evaluate what we think about, what are we telling ourselves over and over and over and over and over and over again? how we feel about things, how we want to respond to things. A friend of mine sent me a picture from our high school days. And we were down on a mission trip, and the guys were in a tent, and we were standing outside the tent like tough guys. And, you know, it was back in the 80s, so, you know, the shorts were, like, really high. And so I sent it to my kids. They loved it. That's coming back, by the way, those short shorts. Watch the college basketball. Ew. Anyways, and I'm standing up, and I'm bleach white. You know, I never tan. I just turn red and go white back to white and then red and, you know. But I had my shirt off. Now, at that time in my life, and even today, to this day, it's a little more true today, I always thought I was fat because I was always told I was. And so then I started telling myself I was. And so I always thought I was fat. So I sent this picture out to my kids, and my brothers also got one because I just thought it'd be kind of fun to send them. And my one brother's like, whoa, he's got a six-pack. People, I was a rock back in sophomore, junior high. I'm looking at him going, well, that's me. Look at that nice hair. Showed Kim. Got chalk chip cookies. You know, so all I'm saying is we can believe things that's not reality. I was not a fat kid. I actually had squares in my stomach. Weird. I just tell people I got a wash basin now. You know. Anyways, where am I at? So the question for us then is, are we operating in human wisdom, our wisdom, or are we operating in God's wisdom? And so if we're operating in God's wisdom, then there's some promises that he's going to give us today. So we want to break down these just four verses. We're going to look at the promises first, and then we're going to look at what do we need to do to see those promises. And just a warning, there are a lot of parentheses, and for those who may be your first time, it's how I read the Bible. I know some of you guys, be quiet, Earl. But I got to explain it. It's not in the Bible, it's just me clarifying what's being said, because it helps me think, and hopefully it helps you. If it frustrates you, I'm sorry. But some people seem to like it. All right. So starting in verse 5 through 8, it says this, trust in, or in that word that looks misspelled, that's actually Hebrew, for confidence or rely on, because this is coming out of the Old Testament, so it's in Hebrew. So trust in or have confidence or rely on the Lord, Yahweh. We were singing about Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh. I'm in the back going, So if you're wondering what Yahweh means, we said the word. What does it mean? It means the infinitely powerful, self-existing, personal God. A lot easier to say Yahweh, right? But he's infinitely powerful. He's self-existing. In other words, he exists whether we exist or not. We don't exist. If he doesn't exist, we don't exist. All right? If he doesn't allow us to exist, we don't exist. And he's personal. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to know him, which is pretty awesome. Anyways, trust in the Lord with all, the totality of your heart. That's your inner being that's made up of your feelings, your thoughts, and your choices. So again, a lot easier to say heart, but he's meaning a lot more than that. And so the totality of your thoughts, the totality of your attitudes, the totality of our actions or choices. And do not lean on, don't depend on, or put your trust in your own understanding, your discernment, what you think. In all, the totality of your ways. Just another way of saying your life, your habits, your actions, and all your ways. Acknowledge him, which is kind of a weird English word that I think has kind of changed over the years maybe, but it means to know him through obeying him. So it's kind of this intimacy, this knowing him really well. Now, why would we do that? And he, not you for you, not me for me, not other people for us, will make your paths, your way through life, straight. In other words, it won't be any. You won't be wandering off here and there, and obstacles that are in your way. You might be able to get around them, or maybe he'll remove them completely. Do not be wise, so understanding, in your own eyes. Don't think your thinking is accurate. Again, because I was fat, that wasn't accurate. The truth was, but man, it stuck to this. I mean, it's just now I don't care. But you know, back then it was. The fact that I had my shirt off was actually kind of a surprise to me, because I always kept the shirt on because I thought I was fat. Do not be wise in your eyes. Fear or respect, hold in high regard the Lord, the one who is the infinitely powerful, self-existing, personal God, and show your respect and turn away from or reject evil. Why should we do that? Because he says, it, not thinking I know better than God, and then respecting him and rejecting what I think I should do, will be healing, recovery to your navel. Isn't that great? You do God stuff God's way, your navel's going to recover. That's awesome. So the word body there literally means, in Hebrew, literally means navel. And it's kind of talking about the umbilical cord, you know, and that's the nourishment. We'll see a quote here in a little bit. Talking about the nourishment that the mother gives to the child and that kind of stuff. It's kind of a cool thing. But figuratively, he's talking about your body, who you are, okay? Not just physically, but everything about who you are. And refreshment, a nourishing, healthy drink, that's what that word means, to your bones. And again, literally bone structure, but figuratively, this, it's the center of your emotions. You have a refreshing drink for your emotions. Oh, wouldn't it be awesome? You know, you talk about a refreshing drink. It's awesome. So let's look at these promises real quick, and then we'll look at the other verses that kind of help us get to these promises. So the first promise is he'll make our paths straight. In other words, doing life his way, thinking the way he wants us to think, and responding the way he wants us to respond, which again is a process. We're changing from how we used to think to how he wants us to think, to how we used to live to how he wants us to live. So it's a process. But as we do that, that'll keep us from wrong decisions. It'll keep us from wrong thinking, from wrong decisions, from wrong responses, because we'll be tracking down the road he wants us to track. He may even remove obstacles. The word has this idea of path straight, have like removing obstacles. And so when I'm talking to believers and they come into my office and are wrestling through something, whatever it is, and we'll go to the Bible and we'll say, hey, this is what God says, and there's always an obstacle for them. There's a person. Well, they won't. They just won't. You don't know who they. And so I'm not saying God's going to kill them. That's not what I'm saying here by removing the obstacle. But he's going to work in that situation, in that person's heart. Now, it may not be a thing where they come to the Lord and commit all their problems. You have a wonderful kumbaya type of relationship with the person. But that issue will be removed for you. You'll be able to see clearly what you need to do, or that thing, or that, whatever the issue is, the obstacle is. So from last week, Psalm 37, that's what makes Psalm 37 a promise that we can count on, because if my desire, and if your desire is to do God's will in the way we think, in the way we act, then he's going to give us what we need to accomplish that. So he's going to give us our desire to obey him. See, I think oftentimes we see God kind of like Siri. So with Siri, Kim and I are sitting there watching TV, and then she'll ask me a question about something, or I'll ask her a question about it, and we won't know the answer. We've got life figured out up until this point where we have this question, and we can't answer the question. So, hey, Siri. And Siri pops up, and we ask her the question, and answer. It's awesome. But we treat God that way. I got this until we don't. And then we go to God. The problem is, had we gone to him during the I got this stage where we were making wrong decisions, we wouldn't have had to go to him to try to fix it. This thought came to my mind. This is something I've had in my head for years. I don't know if I read it somewhere or what, but human maturity is greater and greater independence from our parents. And all parents who have adult children say, amen, right? We did what we could to get them out the door. They're out the door, thank the Lord. And when they show up to bed, we're bringing presents. Or the grandkids, who are not sick. Thank you very much. I've always felt bad we'd show up on vacation to my parents' house in Chicago and our kids would be sick. And like, oh, sorry, Mom, sorry, Dad. We'd leave, they'd get sick. That's human maturity, and we all agree with that. Independence from the parents. Spiritual maturity is greater and greater dependence on God. It's not, I got this, God, and the more that I know him, and the more I say, I got this. No, we have to understand, we can't do life without him. And if you're sitting here going, well, no, I can. There's the problem. And we all do that. We all say, no, 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 I got this. Spiritual maturity is greater and greater dependence on God. It's us saying, God, I need you. And the more you know him and the more you see him working in your life, the more you realize, oh my word, I got this area where I need him in that area. And then, whoa, I got this one, I need him in that area. And I got this relationship, I need him in that relationship. We find out more and more that it's not us saying I got it, but me needing God more and more. Instead, we should kind of look at God as Google Maps, right? Google Maps, a little eye in the sky, driving along, turn left in 280 feet. I always try to race Google to see if I can get to the location before it says I should. But what's happening is whatever thing is seeing down the road. So last month, Kim and I were going up to Michigan. And again, I'm not sure why anybody would want to go there, but I was going there. And we were going to see her cousins. And on the way, we had Google going because I had never been up that area. As we're cruising up down, you know, up 23 or whatever it is that you go, Google was saying, go left at this exchange to Ann Arbor. No, 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 we want to go to the right to Brighton. And they kept saying, and then it said, dummy. No, I didn't do that. And so then Kim did. No, so then Kim's like, no, 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 we need to go right. It says Brighton. I said, but it's saying to go left. No, 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 we need to go right. Okay. So I went right. No sooner we get around the corner, we are in a traffic jam. What Google knew that we didn't know is that there was a traffic jam. Now, Michigan drivers, I don't want to be, listen, I don't want to be mean, but sometimes I feel like I need to share information that's even, you know, not just biblical, but life practical. I was raised in Chicago. In Chicago, when you have road construction, there's an arrow saying, get over to the right lane, for instance, and it'll say, in 5 miles, that's going to happen. You know what Chicago drivers do? At least the ones who were raised there, you can get some people moving there, actually people leaving there, but that's besides the point. They drive down until that arrow, and then you zipper drive. The guy's like, you want in? I'm like, yeah. You know, and we do a little zipper drive, and traffic flows. No, 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 not in Ohio, not in Michigan. 5 miles from now, we're going to have to get over a lane. So they right in, and it's just backed up. So I'm looking down, and I'm like, I think that's the arrow way down there. And I Chicago'd it. I just... I got in a little bit sooner because I didn't want somebody to get all crabby at me and, you know, say hi to me with a finger. But my point is, we didn't do that right. We should have listened to Google Maps. We wouldn't have got jammed up. We would have gone over here. We wouldn't have gone all the way to Ann Arbor. We would have turned off, and I would have got to Culver's a lot sooner. I would have been able to eat my sandwich a little bit slower. There was a storm coming that day, so we had to kind of slam it down. I'm all messed up. And see, God's a good God, and he's trying to keep us from being jammed up. But we keep on jamming ourselves up. We keep on thinking we know better. We all do it. It's just, you know, need to stop. So who could use some healing and refreshing? Right? So that's the second promise he gives us. Obedience is spiritual medicine that brings inner healing. The preacher's outline sermon Bible, I never really heard about this until I was using a research tool. But it says this, the image here in Proverbs is the health-giving nourishment and strength that flow from the mother's body through the umbilical cord into her preborn baby's body. The fear of the Lord is a healing flow into our sin-sick souls. The fear of the Lord, respecting him. We get it that if you eat healthy and you exercise, we know it mentally, but we don't always follow it, right? But if we eat healthy food and we exercise, it's going to bring healing to our bodies. We're actually going to even think better. We're not going to be as cloudy in our thinking because we're going to have good food in us and we'll have exercise and our blood's flowing right, and all that kind of good stuff. In fact, some of you guys know that I've had some stomach issues, and they used to say you are what you eat, right? And so I used to be a chocolate chip with a bottle of and a bottle of Coca-Cola, because that's what I used to always eat. You know, anytime I wanted to feel good about myself, 5 chocolate chip cookies. So I've been having some stomach issues over the last several years. So Dr. Kim, my wife, she's not a real doctor, but she's better than any doctor that I have. She's been researching, and I'm starting to eat Yeah, I used to be a chocolate chip cookie, like I said, and a Coke. Now I'm broccoli and chicken. Because I'm eating, you know, it's bland stuff, but it's helping my body heal. Because I'm eating better food. It's helping me heal up. My body is healing up. So eating right spiritually, which means taking in God's word, then exercising spiritually, which is obeying what we're reading, will heal us spiritually. Inner healing brings about mental healing, emotional healing, and can bring physical healing. And I'm not saying that a person who can't walk and is going to start walking. That's not what I'm talking about. What do I mean? Look what David says in Psalm 38. This is the impact of sin in his life, unrepentant sin. O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, and chasten me not in your burning anger, for your arrows have sunk deep into me, and your hand has pressed, which is the same idea as sunk deep, pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They weigh too much for me. Now, as I'm reading that, what I'm hearing is symptoms of depression, symptoms of anxiety and fear, and just weighed down. If you've dealt with it, you know what I'm talking about. Just weighed down. All you want to do is sleep. You don't really want to go do anything because doing anything doesn't help anything. But it affects you physically. For some, there's physical pain involved in it. And part of that is just because they're not doing anything that your body starts to feel the effects of it. How did he get to this point? His thoughts. Let me explain. I'm going to use the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. So David had a wrong thought. He said, I don't need to do what God wants me to do and be out with my military in battle. I'm going to stay home where it's safe. Wrong thought. Disobeying God in his thought, which caused him to do wrong in his action. Then he decided, he thinks about, I'm going to take some me time. So he goes up on top of the palace and he starts looking at all the Jerusalem and how beautiful it was and how awesome this is, right? And then he had a wrong thought. Wow, she is beautiful. The lady on one of the lower roofs who's taking a bath on top of her roof. But then he's like, you know, I'll do one. I think I'm going to invite her over. And then he's like, you know, actually, I'm not just going to invite her, I'm going to have sex with her. Wrong thought, wrong thought, wrong thought. Leads to wrong action, wrong action, wrong action. And then he found out she's pregnant. And so he has a thought. I'll bring her husband home from the battlefield. He's one of my loyal generals. I'm going to bring him home. He'll want to be with his wife, sleep with her. Then she'll just think that that's, or he'll think that's, his baby. The problem is this guy is really loyal. And so he's like, I can't do that. All my men are fighting. David. All our men are fighting. I'm going to stay at palace and protect the king. So then David has a thought. David's thought is, I'll send him back out to the battlefield and I'll tell the other generals when he's at the front of the line, pull back so he dies. Wrong thought, wrong thought, wrong thought, wrong action, wrong action, wrong action. David is just weighed down with sin. His body is feeling the effects of it. Why? Because he thought wrong. And that thinking that he kept thinking about himself and about himself and about himself and about himself turned into wrong actions. That got worse and worse and made wrong decision upon wrong decision upon wrong decision. Listen, and I want to be careful here, because I'm not saying I have this figured out. I have wrong thoughts. I need to confess those things and get back to God. And we all have this. But wrong self-focused thinking, us thinking we know better than God, that's sin. Because we're not obeying God by thinking the way He says to think. And then that produces self-focused and self-motivated responses. And those responses then build up into us anger and lashing out at others and a desire to escape. It's what we have addictions for. I mean, it's not a good thing to have. And again, depression, fear, anxiety. But we're oftentimes we're so self-focused that we're not even willing to think that maybe our thoughts are actually wrong. That there is a different way of thinking. Are you willing to let God, are you willing to spend time with God and let Him tell you if what you're thinking is wrong? If how you're responding is wrong? Or do you think, no, I got it? You have to be willing to sit with Him in His Word. Find other counsel, people who are spiritually mature, who are growing and bending their lives towards Him. Work through that. God's promising to change the way we think. He's promising to then help us change the way we live. And in that, there's going to be healing in us. So what does God tell us about where thinking needs to be so that we'll make the right choices and experience this sense of healing? It needs to be on Him. It needs to be on His promises. It needs to be on His commands. It says, trust in the Lord. I'm going to kind of just rip through these things real quickly here. Trust in the Lord. Show your trust in the infinitely powerful, self-existing, personal God by doing what He says to do. To think the way He thinks. To respond the way He says to respond. He says to do it with all your heart. So every thought, every emotion, every action, the totality of your thoughts, the totality of your emotions and your actions, don't ever lean on your own understanding. Don't ever think that you've got it figured out. You know how humbling that is? That's hard to do. The preacher's Bible says this, partial trust is not trust at all. Either God is trustworthy or He's not. If He cannot be trusted with all, He cannot be trusted at all. You can't say, I'm going to trust Him for this stuff, but I got it over here, and you can't do that. I mean, you can. Not the good place to be. And you might be thinking to yourself, Harold, that's crazy talk. That is just so not what life is. 100% get it. 100% get that. That is a radical life change. That's radical change in how I think. That's radical change in how I live. Radical change in the way I respond to other people. Radical change in how I just do my job, my finances, my relationships, my personal life, my habits. Right. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but imagine what God's trying to do for you and me. He's taking you and me, and we know who we are, right? And He's conforming us to the image of Jesus. Yeah, that's radical change, people. We're not going to be perfect till we get to heaven, but the whole purpose of life is to go through the difficult things we go through so we become more and more like Jesus. Think the way He thought. Live the way He lives. The next thing we need to do then is we need to acknowledge the Lord. Again, a weird word, but it means a desire to know Him intimately. I was trying to figure out a better way of saying that for guys. You know, be best buds. You know, didn't seem respectable enough. Intimately sounds like a feminine type of thing, but we want to know God. We want to know Him well. We want to trust Him. We want to trust the infinitely powerful, self-existing, personal God. In all of our ways, in every habit and every action of life. So have you spent time asking God, what is it that you're trying to teach me through this situation that I'm in? So we talked about last week, you know, your greatest desire. What would you like God to fix for 2025? You want to fix your spouse, fix your kids, fix your parents, fix your finances, fix your, you know, whatever it is that's just weighing on you and you think you're doing it the way you want it should be done, but you say, man, God, if you could just do this. Have you spent time with Him looking in His Word saying, okay, what do I need to do? What's the decision I need to make? And again, this is a process. This doesn't happen overnight. We've all gotten to where we are. however many years, for me, 57 years, it's been 57 years of making right decisions and a bunch of wrong decisions to where I am today. Maybe a good way to summarize this is don't plan your next move until God's at the planning session. Don't say, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. No, God, let's stop here for a second. Let's take 10 minutes, and let's, God, what do you think? What's your word say again? What is it? I've had to go back to these verses this week numerous times. Just tell myself, don't start thinking the way you think. Think the way God wants you to think. What does God want to do in this situation, in that situation? And he says, fear the Lord. Respect the fact that God is the infinitely powerful, self-existing, personal God, and we are not. I am not God. You are not God. God is God. I write that every morning. I pray with a journal. I write my prayers out because if I don't do that, I get distracted and start thinking about things and into my day. So I write my things down. And every Heavenly Father, my Lord and my God, you are God, I am not. You are Master, I am servant. You are my Father, I am your child. Help me to remember that as I get into my day. But we have to respect him. Then I get into the day and I mess up and start thinking my way again. Made that bad decision again. Said this wrong thing to Josiah, or this wrong thing to Jason, or this wrong thing to Kim. I'm like, hey, would you guys forgive me? I responded, just in myself. God is the only one who knows what's coming down the pike. Boo! Now, that's just a little example for what I'm going to say. Did you know, you didn't, that I planned that on Friday? I planned to say boo really loud on Friday. None of you guys knew it was coming. Why? Because I planned it. But here's the crazier thing. God knew before he ever created the world that I was going to think about that on Friday and do it on Sunday. You didn't know it. I didn't know it until Friday. But it was going to happen. Only God knows. When we walk out of this building, what's going to happen? Only God knows what's going to happen later this afternoon. Only God knows what's going to happen tonight. Only God knows what's going to happen this week. Fear him. In other words, respect the fact that he is the infinitely powerful, self-existing, personal God who's got it. So don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think that we know better than God. Turn away from evil. Again, harsh word. We like sin maybe a little bit better than evil, but evil is just sin. It's that bad. It means not good. It means bad. It means morally impure. In other words, it means disobeying God. So reject it. Find out what God wants. So some takeaways. This was last week's as well. Somebody would be like, oh, you didn't change your slides. No, I changed it. But it starts here. Last week starts here, this week starts here. And that is you can't and you won't trust God if you don't know him. You can only trust him if you know him. And then you start applying what he says, then you know him better. And then you'll trust him more. And then you'll know him better. And then you'll trust him more. And now we're on a good road, right? We're moving in a straight line. Knowing who God is. And then secondly, decide today who will be God of your life. Is that going to be you? Or are you going to let God? We who place our faith in Christ, we've already said, by placing our faith in Christ, we're giving you our life. You are God. We are not. We have to decide that each and every choice. The next right choice. The next right thing. Stand, we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words. I thank you for the impact they've been in my life this week as I've gone through these and used these and prayed through these and applied circumstances in my life, applying these things to the circumstances in my life. Some of those things are happening this coming week. Some of these may happen down the road. I don't know, but I need to trust you. And so, Lord, I pray that each person here who's a follower of Jesus Christ, that they would recommit today to let you be God and to trust you with the decisions that they have to make and whatever the situation is. And, Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, who's not given their life to you, that they would be willing to let you be the God of their life, to be a good father, that you would take them through this life and into eternity. So, Lord, I pray that they would just confess their need for you, the sin that they've committed against you, that needs to be forgiven, to ask you to forgive them, to believe that Jesus, when he died on the cross, died and took their place, their judgment for them. They've just had that conversation. God, forgive me of my sins. I want to give you my life, to do life your way. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I'm trusting in that. And Lord, we'll continue to give you the praise and the glory that you deserve. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming this morning. Have a great rest of the day.